If that didn't get you up this morning, then I think you deserve to sleep. In fact, if that didn't get you up this morning, I'll go back to sleep with you. Just move over. Just, if you have a comfortable mattress or a futon or something, just move over and roll over. Beg. Just give me room. Give me room to move. Now, the Beatles. The Beatles and the original Lola, Marlene Dietrich, as well as the Kinks' Lola, the 70s Lola, and the Kinks from The Power Man, Lola versus the Power Man, and The Money Go Round. And Mac Vickery, recorded live at the Julia Tutwiler Prison for Women in Wetumpka, Alabama. That's an actual record, and it's got about the most tasteless cover in the whole world, with Mac Vickery with his guitar slung across his back, and an all-black black shirt and black trousers, looking as sexy and as bulging as can be, signing autographs through the bars as these four very, very prisony looking women standing behind the bars are trying to grab at him. What a cover. Mac Vickery, recorded live at the Julia Tutwiler Prison for Women with Wetumpka, Alabama.
The Warehouse brings you, from Warner Brothers Records, Beaver and Krause, their new album, Gandharva. Just $2.84. Gandharva, Paul Beaver and Bernard Krause, recorded at Grace Cathedral in San Francisco, and backed by musicians like Howard Roberts, Bud Shank, Jerry Mulligan, and Mike Bloomfield. Gandharva, $2.84 at the Warehouse. There's a warehouse near you in Pomona, Westwood, Hollywood, Torrance, Costa Mesa, Panorama City, Belmont Shores, Long Beach, Santa Monica, Anaheim, and Los Angeles at Crenshaw and Rodeo. That's Beaver and Krause. Their new album, Gandharva, on Warner Brothers Records, discount priced $2.84 at all 12 warehouse, record, and tape stores.
Maybe they'd want to open.
Stores.
Excuse me, Zach. Maybe they'd like to open a store, a warehouse store in Wetumpka, Alabama, and then they can sell the Mac Vickery album to all the inmates. Pacific Stereo has the Rectilinear 10A speakers right in stock right now. They have the guards at the doors waiting to unbolt them to let you in. It's a very good time to pick up a pair because Pacific Stereo will allow you 120% off the normal trade-in value of your used bookshelf speakers toward Rectilinear 10As. These fine three-way bookshelf speakers use a long-throw acoustic suspension bass speaker and a partridge and a pear tree, which crosses over to the mid-range at a low 100 cycle per second frequency. Their design also reduces time delay distortion to an absolute minimum. In any case, Rectilinear 10A sounds exceptionally good on the full range of recorded music and are well worth their $398 a pair selling price. But if you send in three coupons, no. But right now, if you bring your used bookshelf speakers to any Pacific Stereo store, you'll be able to receive an extra 20% off value in trade toward Rectilinear 10As. Pacific Stereo, they're open till 9 weekdays, until 5 Saturday and Sunday. Trade now at Pacific Stereo in Santa Monica, North Hollywood, La Habra, and Torrance. It's KPPC Radio from Pasadena, where in just 6 minutes, I Love a Mystery.
Talking around me and my cat named Dog. scooping up the seeds, scooping up the seeds, they're scooping. Daddy's outside pulling up the weeds, pulling up the weeds, pulling up the weeds. I said, hey,
pulling up the weeds, scooping up the seeds. I said, hey, what a day, Jubilee.
Kitchen cooking up a storm,
cooking up a storm, she's cooking.
Grandma's in the cellar making liquor out of corn, liquor out of corn, liquor out of corn. I said, hey,
liquor out of corn, cooking up a storm. I said, hey, what a day, Jubilee.
Things go in my way.
I said, hey, what a day, Jubilee.
Isn't that a happy song? That's really a great song. Jubilee, Everything's Going My Way. Norman Greenbaum's first solo album. First Norman Greenbaum album on Reprise Records. Norma Tanega, Walking My Cat Named Dog. I just noticed Bill Keen. I wonder if it's Bill Keen, the weatherman with the ears. Bill Keen wrote the liner notes. It may be a different Bill Keen, although how many Bill Keens can there be? Wrote the liner notes for Norma Tanega. If Loudon Wainwright is the masculine, the male counterpart of Melanie, then Norma Tanega is the female, lady counterpart of Norman Greenbaum. Somehow, we'll have to play a set of all four of those people to show you what I mean if you're not really sure of what Melanie or Loudon Wainwright III sounds like. But there was the example of Norma Tanega and Norman Greenbaum. Very similar sound. Maybe she's really Norman Greenbaum and went to Sweden, Denmark, and came back Norman Greenbaum. Well, enough sex speculation for the moment. It's time to get down to some good, serious killing. I love a mystery. If you remember yesterday, Doc and Jack somehow managed to get in a basement. Two thugs were about to do them in, but somebody fired through the window, sprayed them with buckshot, not Doc and Jack, but the two gangsters, and they got away, ran back to the house, only to find the kid in bed with his clothes on. What's his name? Phil's brother. I can't even keep track of names anymore. And they accused him of firing the thugs with the buckshot. And the last line was, "Don't tell Phil. Don't tell Phil. He's my brother. I know." Now that's got to have something to... I haven't heard the rest of this story, so I don't know how it ends. But that really seems like it has to have something to do with the way the story ends. Wonder if Phil has anything to do with all the nonsense of the Richard curse. Just have to wait and see. Oh, that's awful.
Mistake. Mistake. Your disc jockey has just made a mistake.
I didn't recue the cartridge from yesterday, so I don't have the opening theme. So I tell you what, we'll do a commercial for the factory, and then we'll begin I Love a Mystery. Oh, am I embarrassed.
Mistake. Oh, my mistake. Your disc jockey has just made a mistake.
Enough with that. Coming to the factory July 30th and 31st is the rock cantata, the Tak Rangkara, called Who Are the People? The cantata will consist of a 14-piece choir, 7-piece rhythm, 6-piece brass sections, along with dancers and solo and gospel choir. The cantata will follow the progression of rock from its beginning to its present. It will be LA's first rock cantata, and you'll see it July 30th and 31st at the factory, where there's always plenty of room, complete dining and dancing, and a free place to park your car. Try it out. Not your car, the factory. 665 North Robertson Boulevard in West Hollywood. You can phone them at 657-6533. The cartridge isn't ready yet. Do you want to start the I Love a Mystery without the opening introduction? That would be really cheesy to do that. I mean, you just can't start an I Love a Mystery without the proper introduction. So as long as we're here and waiting...
Have you ever floated on the waves of the ocean? That's what it's like lying on the waterbed. Aqua Sleep Shops has the largest selection of water mattresses and frames in L.A. They're now selling king-size mattresses at $15.95 at all three Aqua Sleep Shops in the Valley at the corner of Sherman Way and Van Nuys Boulevard in L.A. at 827 South Vermont, and the new store in Redondo Beach at 258 Harbor Drive. Aqua Sleep Shops open 7 days a week. I did it! Come on, David.
Shell did it, and so did I. Here's I Love a Mystery.
The Mutual Broadcasting System presents I Love a Mystery. Transcribed.
Phil, I hope you don't mind us using your room for a conference hall.
The pleasure's all mine, Packard. Anything to break the monotony.
As long as we don't tire you.
When I get tired, Sonny, you'll hear about it.
That's a promise.
Arthur?
Yes, Phil?
Where's the wheelchair?
I'm through with that baby carriage stuff.
Yeah? How's the arm?
It's in a cast. How do I know?
Well, are we all here?
No, we're waiting for Leslie Marks.
Sonny's attorney? What's he got to do with this?
Well, he's in on this with the rest of us. Oh, Reggie.
Yes, Jack?
Open that window. We need a little air in here.
Quite.
Draft on you, Sonny?
No, it smells good.
Fog thick enough out there to spit on your bread.
Hey, Long.
Talking to me?
That's right. What are you sitting over there by the door for?
I like it over here.
Yeah, I see you do. Why?
Just a hunch, I reckon.
Doc means he doesn't get caught in the same predicament twice. I still don't get it. The last time we were all together in this room, we had visitors.
With guns.
Oh, so that's it.
That's it, fella. Should visitors come again, we're kind of spread out and fighting formation.
I see. You by the door, Packard here by the bed, and York over by the window.
And now you know as much as we do.
But that's fantastic. They wouldn't dare try the same thing again.
You can't tell what a bunch of torpedoes will do. It's just like I always say it. Oh, I'll get it. Oh, well, come on in, fella. It's Leslie Marks.
Yes.
You were expecting me, I believe?
Yes, come in. Have a chair.
Hello, Leslie.
Good evening, Sonny. How are you, Terry?
Don't bother to ask.
Very well. How's the arm, Arthur?
It's broke. How'd you think it was?
Well, all very pleasant.
Arthur, that's awful.
So what?
Phil, you should say something to Arthur about his manners.
What's the matter with him?
Well, you heard how rude he was to Leslie.
Oh, that.
Yes, that.
Never mind, Sonny.
But I do mind. You've been a good friend to me, and I don't care what anybody says or thinks.
What's that?
What?
Has someone been saying I haven't been a good friend to you?
Oh, I didn't mean...
Sure, Marks. I say it.
I see, Terry. That explains a lot of things.
It does?
Yes, I've noticed an antagonism in you against me, and I never understood it until now.
He never understood it till now.
But if you think I've taken advantage of Sonny in some manner, then naturally I can understand your resentment.
That's what I call real deduction.
Phil, I'm interested.
You keep out of this, Packard.
Do you mind telling me why you think Marks is taking advantage of Sonny? And in what way?
I said for you to keep out of this.
All right, let her go.
But, Phil, you're wrong.
I'm not wrong.
Leslie, do you know what Phil's talking about?
I think so.
Well, for heaven's sake, let's hear it.
Phil's disliked me ever since I refused to give you extra money from the estate to maintain him here in this hospital.
Oh, no, Leslie.
Marks, you said the one thing that you shouldn't ever have said.
Nevertheless, Terry, I believe I'm stating facts. Sonny has paid every expense you've incurred since you were injured a year ago, and I might state that there were plenty of expenses.
Leslie, I forbid you to say another
word. And furthermore, Terry, Sonny has been keeping this lazy, good-for-nothing brother of yours.
What did you call me?
Arthur, you shut up.
What did you call me, Marks?
I called you a lazy, good-for-nothing...
Arthur!
Arthur! That water glass came within an inch of my hip.
I intended for it to brain you.
Arthur!
I'll kill that tinhorn lawyer.
Arthur, I'm talking to you.
What do you want?
Come over here to the bed.
Phil!
Come over here to the bed. Now then.
Phil, don't hit me.
Don't hit you? Why, you little baby-faced punk, I got a notion to smear your nose all over your face. You hear me?
Phil, let go of my collar. You're choking me.
What do you mean, saying you'll kill anybody? Answer me. What do you mean by it?
Phil, you're choking me.
Oh, Phil,
answer
please.
Answer me, punk.
You heard what he said about us.
And I told you to stay out of it, didn't I?
But you can't do anything. You're a cripple, Phil. Oh, Phil.
Don't ever say that to me again. You hear?
Yes, Phil.
Now go and sit down. Yeah. Yeah, so that's what everybody thinks. I'm a cripple. Well, supposing I am.
Oh, no, Phil.
I said supposing I am.
Here, Arthur, drink this. Make your throat feel better.
All right.
Well, isn't anybody going to answer me?
Phil, we're getting entirely away from the matter we gathered here to discuss.
What do I know about what you came here to discuss? You called the meeting?
Yes, but I haven't had a chance to get a word in edgewise so far.
Well, you got the floor now, haven't you?
All right. I suppose you all know by this time that I went out to interview Donald Robert Lincoln and got thrown into jail for my trouble.
Yeah, that was great work.
Uh-huh. But I did accomplish one purpose. I've finally given the police a clue to this gang that's been working against us.
And what is that?
The service garage where Lincoln has work done on his cars is definitely connected with the mob.
Hey, Jack, I thought you wasn't supposed to tell that.
Well, it's not supposed to be known generally. It's all right among ourselves.
The police are watching that garage?
Yes, but that's a side issue. What I really wanted to tell you was a little incident that happened to Doc and me last night after we were released from jail. Or rather, I want Doc to tell it.
Well, why me, Jack?
Never mind. Let's go out.
Okay. Well, me and Jack come out of the jail and got into Sonny's car that I had parked outside and started for home. When all of a sudden, a couple of torpedoes come up out of the back seat and poke shooting pistols in the backs of her neck.
Doc, more gunmen?
That's right, Sonny.
You boys seem to be plenty unpopular in this town.
Ain't it the truth? Well, they made me drive to a big brown stone house over on Sunshine Street, not so far from here. Then they took us inside.
It was their headquarters?
No, it wasn't, fella. It was a vacant house. Anyway, from their conversation, they was all set to take us down in the basement and finish up the little jobs their playmates messed up on out on the desert.
They were going to kill you?
Well, that was the object of the meeting. Only going down the stairs to the basement in the dark, me and Jack done a high dive and got out of their spotlight.
You did what?
They had a flash on us. We dived down the stairs.
But you might have been killed.
Well, shucks, a broken neck or hot lead in your gizzard, you're just as dead either way. Anyway, after that, we played hide-and-go-seek for quite a while with them, when all of a sudden, bam, and somebody let them have it with both barrels of a sawed-off shotgun.
There was somebody else in the basement, too?
No. They shot from outside through the basement window.
He killed them both?
He was too far off. He just sprayed them with buckshot. But it's good enough. It laid them out long enough for me and Jack to put ropes on them and call the police to come and get them.
So now the police have seven members of the gang.
Yeah, the five we picked up on the desert and these two mugs.
That's an interesting point, don't you think so, Marks?
What's that? I don't follow you.
I mean, if the big boss isn't careful, he's gonna just about find himself out of gunmen.
Why do you address that to me?
I just thought you might have an opinion.
There seems to be an insinuation behind your remarks.
You haven't an opinion?
No.
I have.
Well, good, Terry. Let's hear it.
I'd say offhand the Richard curse that's been giving Sonny here so much trouble has turned into a gang fight.
Does, doesn't it?
In which case, the more gunmen the police round up, the less trouble Sonny's going to have with the curse.
I differ with you there, Mark.
Why?
Because no matter how many mugs we round up, Sonny's not going to have any peace until we put our finger on the leader.
Oh, yes, the leader.
How do you figure that, Packin?
Well, this riffraff we've picked up aren't important. They're just doing what they're told. The man we want is the boss, who knows why. The man who knows why it's important that every man who comes closely associated with Sonny must be killed off.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the guy we've got to get.
You really believe that's at the bottom of all this trouble? Someone is trying to keep men away from Sonny?
I know that's it.
But why? That's the thing I can't understand. Why, what difference does it make to anyone who I see or know?
Well, if we knew that fella, then we'd probably know who the buzzard was.
Wait a minute.
Well, Marks?
I'm beginning to understand your insinuation a moment ago, Packard.
Yes?
Anyone interested enough in Sonny to want to keep men away from her would have to be someone close to her.
I think so. Don't you?
Yes. As her attorney and executor, I'm closer to Sonny than anyone else.
Right.
I'm the only man who has been close to her over the past year who hasn't been a victim of the curse.
Let's say the victim of the gang. That's more accurate.
Yes. Therefore, I'm the logical man to suspect.
Now, that's what I call a beautiful analysis.
However, you're wrong.
Maybe.
And I'll point out the flaw in your reasoning.
Go ahead.
What have I to lose or gain by Sonny's association with other men?
That doesn't prove anything. Somebody's guilty and somebody's got a reason. You may have a secret reason just as much as anyone else.
But I haven't.
That's what you say.
I say, Jack.
Yes, Reggie?
You say it has to be someone close to Sonny.
It seems logical.
Well, who is there closely associated with her? I mean, besides Marks here.
Well, there's Phil Terry here.
Yeah, I'm a great candidate. I got the worst deal of anybody so far. At least the others are dead and out of their misery.
Phil, dear.
And don't call me dear.
Don't call you dear.
No.
But why?
Well, you're going to marry Packard, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
That's why.
To get back to the subject. After Phil comes Arthur here.
Yeah. He'd make a great leader for a mob, wouldn't he?
I'm just naming over possibilities.
Little Arthur here sure has all the makings.
He won't have when I get through working on him.
I'm doing all right.
Listen, kid, I'm going to make a man out of you if I have to kill you doing it.
Yeah.
Now, we're drifting again. I've got one more candidate.
Well, who's that, Jack?
Donald Robert Lincoln.
Oh, but that's absurd, Jack. Mr. Lincoln isn't close to me.
He was very close to your father. Supposing this thing reaches back...
Lincoln, Packard, I think you've got something there.
What do you mean?
I just remember something about Donald Robert Lincoln. About 6 months before Sonny's father was killed, Lincoln and Mr. Richard had a deal.
Oh! Leslie!
Jack, the shot came through the window. There he goes down the fire escape.
Go get him. Doc, go with Reggie.
You bet
here,
you.
Here, let me see.
Leslie.
What does anybody care?
Arthur, you mustn't say that.
Yeah, that mug's had it coming for a long time.
Further transcribed adventures of Jack, Doc, and Reggie will come to you tomorrow at this same hour. I Love a Mystery, written and directed by Carlton E. Morse, comes to you Monday through Friday, featuring Russell Thorson as Jack, Jim Bowles as Doc Long, and Tony Randall as Reggie York. Frank McCarthy speaking.
O-D-O-D-O-D-O-K-P-P-C. Jeff, the Geyser Show, O-D-O-D-O-D-O, K-P-P-C, stereo,
O-D-O-D-O-D-O,
Jeff's real neat,
O-D-O-D-O-D-O,
he knows how to move those feet,
O-D-O-D-O-D-O,
K-P-P-C.
PC, Jeff the Gonzer Show. That's all.
Things are really getting interesting now. Leslie Marks just got shot, and Arthur doesn't give a damn. And I personally suspect Phil Terry. Now, I'm just speculating. In past episodes, in past stories, I've listened to the whole thing before they've come on the air. So I would try my darndest not to talk about the storyline because I didn't want to give away anything. But I don't know. I haven't heard the next one yet. And I think it just feels like Phil Terry, he's got too many things going for him. He's supposedly hung up in that bed, and he's an invalid, and all that other nonsense. But if he's the one who lived through the Richard curse, maybe he's just playing. I don't know, we'll just have to see.
In the land of the night, the ship of the sun is drawn by the grateful dead.
Friday night, August 6th. Warner Brothers recording artists, the Grateful Dead, come to the Hollywood Palladium. Also, the new Riders of the Purple Sage, plus guest artists. Tickets now at Wallach Stores, Liberty Mutual Agencies, and the Sound Spectrum, a pinnacle dance from Pacific Presentation, Friday night, August 6th.
It's about 12 minutes of 8. It's also KPPC Radio from Pasadena.
Time to change, partner. You must change.
me into any shape. Your twist and mine has no escape. But don't be ashamed, love. It's just a game, love. You can learn how to play. Born like you were in a terrible mess. Didn't know what it was to have a new dress. You just to scream. To somebody said, let me take you to bed. And with money and lies, they knew that you were. You were barely 13, a child from the villages, so fresh.
Hundreds of buildings that block out my view, watched by a truck with a hole in his shoe, standing alone on the corner. He's thinking that work is all a big joke, while he looks in the gutter for something to smoke.
This is KPPC from Pasadena.
What's the matter with me? I don't have much to say.